There's a third one. Go to the book of Esther. Esther. Show you a third sinister personality. It'll all come together in a few moments. Hang in there with me. The book of Esther. Ezra and Nehemiah, Esther. And let me just give a little bit of the background of Esther. Ahasuerus is the king in Esther. Ahasuerus was prophesied by Daniel. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, prophesied. Well, look over there just for a second. We'll come back to Esther. I know I'm going all over the Bible. Don't worry about it. It's good, all of it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at chapter 11 of the book of Daniel. We'll go back to Esther, but look at Daniel 11. Also, I in the first year of Darius, the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Michael comes to Daniel to give him a prophecy. Michael was dispatched. We're going to look at the 10th chapter in a moment, but Michael is that archangel that is given the responsibility of protecting the Jewish people. Look at verse 2. And now will I show thee, by the way, the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel is the most prophetic chapter. It presents five personalities. Five personalities, all of their names start with A. The first one is going to be Ahasuerus. We'll look at it in just a moment. The second one, Alexander the Great. The third one, Antiochus the Great. The fourth one, Antiochus Epiphanes. And the fifth one is Antichrist. He talked about Ahasuerus 57 years before the man ever came on the scene. He prophesied this man would come. He prophesied 200 years before Alexander the Great would come, 300 years before Antiochus the Great would come, 360 years before Antiochus Epiphanes would come, and what? 2,500 years before the Antichrist would come. And I want to tell you something. In minute detail, he told what was going to happen. And in absolute fulfillment, with every detail being confirmed, the first four of those personalities came into existence just like he said in Daniel 11. Number five will come the exact same way. It's a principle of interpretation. Look at verse 2. This is 57 years before Ahasuerus shows up in the book of Esther. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all, and by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece. So the Medo-Persian Empire, of course, is preceding the Grecian Empire, and it's because of what he does ultimately that's going to get the Grecians all upset, and that's going to start the overthrow of the Medo-Persian Empire. Now go to Esther. It said he's going to become a mighty one. He's going to be the fourth king. You have Cyrus, and then there are going to be four kings after him, and the fourth one is going to be Ahasuerus. This is the book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, that is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. 127 provinces. He reigned over all of this. From India to Ethiopia. This was the mightiest empire on the face of the earth thus far in history. He reigned all of this. And he set up in Shushan, in his palace, his kingdom. Now Shushan is at Susa, which is about 200 miles east of modern-day Babylon, Babylon in Iraq. We're talking about probably in the area of Iran. We don't know exactly where it is, but in that area at least. And he decides that he's going to have a celebration. So he's going to call all the leaders of 127 provinces in. They're going to bring all of their delegations, all of their entourages. They're going to come into the land. They're going to be there with these with Ahasuerus and King Vashti, who's the king of this empire at this point, the queen of this empire at this point in time. They're going to come in. He's going to have a six-month celebration. I mean, this is going to be some kind of a party, a big celebration. And he starts it out, and they're near the end of the party. And finally, King Ahasuerus says, Vashti hasn't come out here yet. I haven't shown her off. Boy, she is a good-looking thing. I think I'm going to bring her out to show her off. Go get Vashti and get her out here right now. I want to show her off to these men. I want to make them envy me, boy. Come on, Vashti, get out here. Well, they go to get Vashti, and Vashti says, ain't no way, honey. I'm not going out there. King Ipu, you can just call all day, but I'm not coming. And the king, Ahasuerus, said, "What? Vashti is not coming? What? And who does she think she? Don't she know I'm the king? She's just a queen. She does what I tell her. Go tell her to come out here. I'm not coming. You can tell him to take a flying, whatever. I am not coming. Just forget it. I'm not coming." Well, Ahasuerus said, "Hey, he got all the wise men together. Said, what are we going to do? Vashti says she's not coming." One of them said, "King, if you don't make her come, we're all in trouble. I mean, if she starts this women's lib thing, you know how far that can go? I mean, this is going to be the end. I mean, we'll not be able to get these ladies to do anything we tell them to do. Now, you got to get her out here." "I can't get her. She won't come." "You got to. I tell you what. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dethrone her. Now, I want you to find the most beautiful women in my realm. Bring them in. Let them be prepared." And you know the story. Esther comes in. And she doesn't take all that makeup. Now, girls, I'm not against makeup. I mean, if the barn needs painting, go ahead and put all the paint on you need. But, so I'm not against makeup. But she comes in, she doesn't need any of that junk. Man, she says, "All right." And she's good-looking thing, you know, and they come prancing out, and I dress this up just a little bit. They come prancing out, and boy, when she walks in, Ahasuerus goes, "Wow, who was Vashti? I can't even remember that lady anymore. I want that one right there. I want her. She's going to be the queen." And so King Ahasuerus makes Esther the queen. What he doesn't know is that she's a Jewess. And her cousin, her uncle's son, said, "Don't tell anybody you're a Jewish, Mordecai. Don't tell anybody you're a Jew. Don't you dare tell anybody." Well, it has a purpose. Third chapter of the book of Esther. That's two chapters, pretty quick, huh? Third chapter of the book of Esther. "And after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, made him the number two man in his kingdom." We would probably refer to him, at least in the Middle East or the European countries, as foreign minister. Maybe they would refer to him as the vice president or secretary of state here, but foreign minister, number two, in powerful positions in the land. And Haman, boy, he's a hot dog. He comes walking in the gates to the city one day, and here are all these wise men sitting around. The gate of the city was a very special place. It's where the judgments took place. The wise men were at the gates of the city. It wasn't the beggars at the gates of the city. It was very important people. And Haman comes walking in, and there's Mordecai at the gate of the city, and everybody bows as the number two in the kingdom comes walking in, except Mordecai. And this ticks Haman off. "Hey, what's the matter with you, man? Don't you know who I am? You see me walk in? You're supposed to bow." So Mordecai says, "Ain't no way I'm going to bow to you, Haman. I'm a Jew, and I don't bow to anybody except Almighty God." And Mordecai didn't bow to him. Now this gets Haman right over the edge. And he gets together with his cronies, and he says, "We got to do something about this. I can't have this to happen. I'm number two. You think Ahasuerus had a problem with Vashti. He took care of that. We got to take care of this. I can't have this Jew not bowing to me when I come in." So he goes to Ahasuerus, Haman does, and Haman proposes to Ahasuerus, "Hey, there's a Jew not bowing to me. You made me number two. He ought to bow. He's not bowing. We got to get rid of these Jews." Ultimately, he comes up with the law of the Medes and the Persians that all the Jews are going to be killed. Look what it says. Verse 9, chapter 3. "If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took off his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the Jews' enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given unto thee. Verse 13, and the letters were sent out by post. The postman took the letters out unto all the king's provinces, 127 of them, to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. And the message went out. It was the law of the Medes and the Persians. And the sinister personality of Haman tries to set himself up to wipe out the Jews. Oh, by the way, I want to show you something in just a moment. But you know what? Haman, as Ahasuerus, was a fulfillment of prophecy. 11th chapter of Daniel, 2nd verse. So was Haman a product or fulfillment of prophecy.